I'm sure glad to be here, and it's been an exciting week, and I've always looked forward to coming to California to your conferences and to your camps, and I consider this one of the best districts I've ever been in, and I think Brother and Sister Price are such wonderful people of God, and I've been thankful for having an opportunity just to be around them this week and all the other great leaders that you have in this district. And I pray that in the rapture we'll just, from the east to the west, it'll be great to see God's great church go up together. I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Yes, yes. Praise the Lord.
Brother Goddard is, you know, the beautiful part about it, for my part of it, is he's on the general board. I like men that's strong enough to believe what you believe when you're not in camp meeting. Stand up and tell them on the floor of the conference even. And preach it just the same whether you're there or whether you're in a camp meeting or your own home church. Amen. We're not in this for no other reason than that to please the Lord. And what pleases Him ought to make us happy. And His ministry has been blessed throughout our whole fellowship. And I like what He's brought to us in these meetings. The beautiful part that I see in this that makes me rejoice, I'm glad we got men like this that stands for what He's standing for. Praise the Lord. Brother Goddard, I want to drive these stakes so deep it takes 14 generations to dig it up. I want it to last until the Lord comes in the clouds of glory. If you don't want to stay with this, the world's open to you. But as far as me and my house, we're not leaving it. We're not giving up. We're not giving out. And we're not giving in. We're going to keep it to the rapture. Praise the Lord. If that hurts your feelings, you don't have much Holy Ghost. This is not worth giving something of your life to. It's a shame that we have to fuss over little quibbly things that some folks make an issue out of. But I want you to know, if the Lord likes it, I want to do it anyhow. God bless you, Brother Goddard. Come and minister to us again. So good to have you.
Thank you, Brother Price. Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. This has certainly been a wonderful week for my wife and me, and we've been very pleased and very happy to be here. We've enjoyed everything about this week, all the good Bible teaching. Brother Grant has absolutely blessed me with the Word of God. How many can say amen to that? This is a great man of God, the superintendent of the Wisconsin district, and I love and appreciate his ministry very much. Thank you, Brother Grant, for great Bible studies. All the preaching I've heard in daytime, Brother Wilson today, all of the other days, the preachers I've heard, it's been absolutely marvelous. So we've enjoyed ourselves tremendously here in your Western District camp meeting this year. And I'd like to thank Brother Price, Brother Cantrell, and the district board for inviting us to come. It's certainly our pleasure to get to be here, and we deeply appreciate the invitation. We trust and pray that in some way that we have been a blessing to you while we're here. We're very pleased that we could be here with all the ministers, their families, and all the saints of God. It's a real joy to be here. Let's stand together, please. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Price, for being the great leader that you are. That's right. I have been on the general board not near as long as Brother Price. I've been on the general board for 12 years. And I have always, and I've told this to my wife many occasions when I've gone home, how deeply I appreciated the wisdom, the understanding, and the strength that comes from your district superintendent. I've said that publicly and privately. I deeply appreciate this man of God. And I feel like this district has been richly blessed through the years to have such excellent leadership. And I mean that very sincerely from the depths of my heart. This is a man of God, and I appreciate him. Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So thank you again for allowing us the opportunity to be here this year. I have ministered in California on different occasions, and my first time to be at your camp, and it's been a real delight to be here. I said the other night I have a lot of relatives in California and a lot of friends, so it's just a delight to be here. If you'd open your Bibles tonight to 1 Kings chapter 21 in verse 1. I want to say that I'm very happy that my wife has been here. We have been married for over 30 years, and she is still my sweetheart and my very best friend. And I appreciate her very, very much. We have two daughters that are both married to preachers, and they're both gone, and we're back, just the two of us. Praise God. And you understand the feeling, some of you folks. Yeah. I do have one granddaughter that's 16 months old, and my oldest daughter and her husband, her husband was baptized when he was about 11 in our church and received the Holy Ghost, and fine young man, and they've been married now for probably 6 years or so, and they have our only grandchild. They evangelized the last 2 or 3 years full-time, mostly in Texas and Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas. And now then, they're starting a brand-new church just about an hour and 15 minutes from our house, and that didn't offend us at all. To bring my granddaughter back a little closer to home, that didn't offend us. I was listening to some folks talking one day, and a man came up to a group, and he said, Have I told you about my grandchildren? And one of the men spoke up and said, no, and you don't know how much we've appreciated that. But if I had an hour and a half, you know, I'd tell you about my beautiful little granddaughter. But anyhow, they're starting a brand new church. Just been there 5 weeks. Went to a town. We've never had a church. Didn't know one soul. Just got out and started knocking doors. And meeting brand new people that they've never met and never been Pentecostal. And on the first Sunday, they had 19, and we were very excited about that. They've already baptized, I believe, 8 adults, and 6 of them received the Holy Ghost. And so they've got a good start. They're in a storefront. There's nothing we'd rather they be doing than working for the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, it's an exciting life living for the Lord. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. How many feel that way about living for God? Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Bishop, would you mind turning those two fans off of me, or I'll be so hoarse by the time I get through I can't talk. We'll just that one over there too. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that. 1 Kings chapter 21. And verse number 1, 1 Kings 21 and verse 1, it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. I want to preach tonight for the next while. I'll try to be conscious of the fact of time, and this is the last night of your camp meeting. And your youth camp speaker that's starting tomorrow night is an excellent preacher. And it's hard for me to believe. But your night speaker, starting tomorrow night, I had the pleasure of pastoring him when he was 1 year old. My Lord in heaven, help us all. Brother Mark Morgan was in the church that I pastored in Missouri for about a year when he was about a year old. He and his family, Brother Herschel Morgan and his wife, I had the pleasure of pastoring them. So I'll be mindful of try two of your time tonight, and this is the last night of camp meeting. But I want to preach tonight for a little while, and my subject is Naboth's vineyard. I'd like for Brother Price to come on this closing night, and I'd like for him to pray for us that the Spirit of the Lord would anoint us tonight.
Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we again believe you. We come in your name for the touch of the Holy Ghost. Praise. Divine inspiration that flows out of your presence will fill this place, anoint the people to receive the word. Anoint our hearts to obey it. Bless the minister that brings it to us. And we're going to give you our worship and our praise. We're going to open our hearts to obey what you tell us to do tonight. We're happy for your word. We're come to hear it and obey it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, and you may be seated. God bless you. My subject tonight comes around a man by the name of Naboth. No doubt this vineyard that he had, his great-grandfather had given it perhaps to his grandfather, and his grandfather had given it to his father, and his father had passed it down to him. And so this vineyard was something that was very cherished by Naboth. It wasn't just a happenstance thing. It was something that his father had given unto him. In the story tonight from 1 Kings, the Bible tells us about a man by the name of Ahab. Ahab was the king of Samaria. He was a wicked king. A wicked king who had a wicked wife whose name was Jezebel. Excuse me for the slip of the tongue. I don't want to say much about Jezebel, but I will say that she was in charge of the health administration in those days. And she was very influential in letting her husband, getting her husband to let queers in the army. That's about all I know about Jezebel. But anyhow, the Bible tells us about Ahab, and he had a neighbor by the name of Naboth. And I've read it to you tonight where Naboth had a vineyard, and it was hard by the palace of Ahab, very close or very near, right next door to Ahab's palace, who was the king of Samaria. And Ahab spake to Naboth, and he said, give me your vineyard. I want it for a garden of herbs. And Naboth said, I can't do that. My father gave it to me. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a vineyard that is better than that. I'll trade it with you. And I'll give you a vineyard that's better than the one you got. And Naboth said, I can't do that. My father gave it to me. And he said, well, let me try this. If you won't trade it to me, then I'll give it to you the worth in money. And I'll make it worthwhile. And I'll give you a good price. And Naboth said, I can't do that. I cannot sell you my vineyard. My father gave it to me. My father gave me this vineyard. I cannot get rid of it. I can't trade it off. I can't trade it for something better. I can't sell it to you for any price whatsoever. You don't understand, sir. This is valuable to me because my father gave it to me. Amen. He may have said to Ahab, I realize that my land may not be as good as yours. Your land may perhaps be better than mine. But my father gave me this land. This land that I've got may not be as productive as what you've got, but my father gave me this. Your land may bear better fruit. I don't know that you would give me. I'm sure it would be just as good. It might even bear better fruit. But you've got to understand, sir, that this is meaningful to me. This is very valuable. It's very precious. It's very, very important to me. Because my father gave it to me. That's the thing that I'd like for you to notice tonight in the sermon that I shall attempt to preach in the next few minutes. It's been a long time since that day in 1 Kings chapter 21. But there are certain people that are still coming tonight, and they're wanting us to sell what we have. And they're wanting us to trade what we have for something else. They tell us that they will offer us something better. They tell us that what they're going to give us is better than what we've got. But our response tonight is still this. We can't get rid of what we've got because our Father gave it to us. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. They come to us, and those that don't understand the Bible, and after all, friend, this book is the greatest book in all the world. And any book that contains more than the Bible has too much. Any book that doesn't have as much as the Bible doesn't have enough. And if it has the same thing as the Bible, then why not use this in the first place? There's a certain crowd out there that's trying to take away the power and the authority of God's Word. And they're coming to us and saying, we want your Bible. But we're saying we can't give it to you because our Father gave it to us. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of my Father, of God. You see, our Father gave this to us. And I don't know about you, I'm a little old-fashioned. I still like the King James Version. Praise God. I'm like the old country preacher that said, bless God, if it's good enough for Peter and Paul, it's good enough for me. But I see a lot of different Bibles on the market and a lot of different versions. Some of them twist a little here, change a little here, pervert a little here, add to a little here, delete a little bit here. Then they come and say, we want your Bibles. My response tonight is this. You can't have my Bible because my Father gave it to me. I love this book tonight. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And David said, the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. I'm going to tell you, friend, I esteem this book. I value this book. I appreciate this book. I love this book. It'll take you through the storms. It'll take you through adversity. It'll take you through heartache. It'll take you through sickness. It'll take you through trial. It'll take you through suffering. Thank God for the Word. You can't have it. My Father gave it to me. Glory! The infidels, the agnostics, the critics, the God-haters, the Christ-rejectors, they're all saying, well, it's just another book. And then I believe it's an insidious act and a move on Satan's part to try to bring out so many different versions that people get literally confused. You've got the condensed version by Reader's Digest. Amen. You got the NIV version by Zondervan. They got one called Westcott and Horton out. Well, bless God, I don't care if it came from Sears and Roebuck. I'm going to stay with this one. I feel like my Father gave it to me. Some floozy lady in one of the eastern states came to one of the preachers and had he and his wife over for dinner, and she was showing him around her house and trying to impress him with all of her furnishings and so on. And she said, in a very pious way, this furniture goes back to Louis the 14th. And he said, well, that's nothing. Mine goes back to Sears the 15th. I don't care what you come up with. I still appreciate the Word of God. They've got the ASV version, the new ASV version. They've got the Good News for Modern Man. They've got the Nelson Publishers with the New King James. They've got the American Bible Society. You've got the Mormon Bible. You've got Jehovah's Witness Bible. You've got a Moffat's Bible. The Charismatics have got the Word of Knowledge. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to hold on to this book tonight. You may call it antiquated, out of date, out of style. But I feel like this book is given to us of Almighty God. It's been kept. It's been protected. It's been preserved. It's been handed down. And thank God for His book. Our Father gave it to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so you got all the different versions that are flooding the market tonight. And I don't care if you get Magic Johnson's HIV version. I'm going to stick with this one. I said, I'm going to stick with this one. There's folks that say, I can't understand the Bible. I just can't understand the Bible. So I got to reading the other day and thought, well, how hard is this Bible to understand? So I opened it up and I started reading, and where I read said, he went into the house. And I thought, man, that's hard to understand. That's really something. I'm going to give you an exegesis on what that means. How many want to know what that means? He went into the house. Now, he is the opposite of she. Went means he ain't here no more. Into means he ain't outside. Be means just one. And the house is where folks live. Now, wasn't that hard to understand? You know what our problem is tonight, ladies and gentlemen? It's not that the Bible can't be understood. It's that a lot of people are not believing what the Word of God said. I come here tonight in defense of God's Word. Our Father gave it to us. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to love it with everything that's within my heart. My Father gave it to me. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, the atheists and the God haters are trying to tear down everything that God has established. I heard the other day and was reading perhaps a little article, and it said that an atheist was complaining to one of his Christian friends, and he said, you Christians have got the advantage on us. He said, you all have holidays like Christmas and Easter, and the Jews have the Passover and Yom Kippur and so on. But he said, we atheists have no recognized holiday. He said, that's unfair discrimination. And the man that he was talking to said, I've got a suggestion for you for a national holiday for you atheists. April the 1st. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you, it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ tonight to dig its heels in the sand and say, bless God, we don't care what the atheists, the modernists, the critics, the God haters say. This is still God's Word. Saints of God, you ought to appreciate a pastor that stands in your pulpit every week and preaches the unadulterated truth of the Bible. Stand with him. Stand behind him. Love him. Appreciate him. Our Father gave us the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. I want you to notice a scripture, and I was reading it today in Deuteronomy chapter 27, and I'd like to share it with you tonight. Chapter 27, verse 19. It said, cursed is he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. I want you to see some curses here. In verse 20, cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. Verse 21, cursed be he that lieth with any manner a beast. Verse 22, cursed be he that lieth with his sister. Verse 23, cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. Verse 24, cursed is he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. Verse 25, cursed be he that taketh record, a reward, to slay an innocent person. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a rough crowd. There's a lot of curses that are given in verse 19 through 25. But I want you to notice verse 26. He said, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. I'm going to tell you that a person that does not confirm all the Word of God to do it is in the same class and the same category as all of these other heinous sins. I'm going to tell you tonight, Pentecostals, it's time to love this book. I want to tell you that Bible study should not be an off night in the church. It should never be said, this is just Bible study night, I'm going to stay home. I like evangelism. I like evangelistic power. I like evangelistic fervor. I'm going to tell you the service that I like the most in the church I pastor is my Tuesday night Bible study service. I believe if we don't learn to stand upon the Word of God, we're going to be deceived. We're going to be deceived. We're going to be misled into deception and error and false teaching and false doctrine. I'm telling the Pentecostals of the Western District tonight, praise God, love the Word of God. Love that Bible study service. Love that man of God that preaches God's Word. Let's clap our hands for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There's another thing that the modernists are trying to take away from us. They want to take away our church. Not only do they want to take away the Word, the Bible, but they're trying to take away our church. And when I say our church, I'm not just simply talking about our local church plant, our physical plant in our local cities. I'm talking about the ecclesia, the called out ones. There has never been a more vehement, powerful attack against the church of Jesus Christ than there is tonight. And I do not come to this pulpit with a negative message. I don't like to preach negative sermons. Praise God. However, we've got to have a balance somewhere. But let me tell you this. In the midst of all of our evangelistic fervor, in the midst of everything that our churches are trying to do and attempting to do, we need to come back to a basic appreciation of the church of Jesus Christ, which He purchased with His own blood. I tell you tonight, I'm excited to be a part of the church. I said, I'm excited about being a part of the church. I'm thrilled tonight that I'm in the church of the living God. Amen. The church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is the ecclesia, the called out ones. The church is constituted and made up of men, women, and young people from every walk of life. Thank God we got the poor folks, the down and outers. We got some up and outers. No one's excluded or exempted or left out. The plan of God's open to everybody. The scripture that says, whosoever will, let him come, does not tell a lie. It tells the truth. I'm glad that the church has got an open door policy tonight. Thank God. Anybody that wants to come to our church, I don't care who they are. I don't care what their color is, what their nationality, race, creed, or language is. It doesn't matter. The church is for everybody. The church is for everybody. Amen. And I started a church many years ago, 31 years ago in Missouri, the first church we ever started. And we didn't have anybody the first Sunday, and so that's the way we started in an old dilapidated storefront building. But anyhow, we got to having services in that storefront. Finally, one Sunday morning, there was a man and his wife and three children came in. And I'm going to tell you, when you're real small and don't hardly have anybody coming, to get a family of five to walk in the door is an exciting experience. Praise God. I still get excited about it. Amen. And they came in. As a result of their coming in that door, the man and his wife were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I asked him at a later time, I said, who invited you to church? He said, no one. I said, how did you manage to come? He said, preacher, he said, we've been trying to join a church in this town for weeks. And he told me which church it was, the first church downtown. He said, we've been trying to join that church. We went over there and they were delaying and they were stalling and they were putting us off. And finally, one of the deacons came to our house. And he said, we just might as well tell you frankly, ours is an uptown church, and we've got a little building across town. It's an annex. It is a structure that I think you folks would feel more comfortable in. And said, you can't join our church here, but you can join the Kimball Street Mission. It was a mission across town. So happened, Brother Price, that mission was about a block from us. You could see it from our church. So here's a man and his wife that feels dejected and rejected. And they go, and on their way to the Kimball Street Mission, they're determined to join that church. Well, when they got in front of our church, he said, for the life of me, I don't know why, but we just pulled in here. And as a result, all the family was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here's what he told me later. Here's what he said. He said, with your permission, I would like to write the pastor and the deacon board of that church, and I'd like to thank them for not taking us in. Praise God. He said, you see, if they'd have took us in, we'd have never got baptized in Jesus' name. If they'd have took us in, we'd have never received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. If they'd have took us in, we'd have believed in a trinity of gods. He said, with your permission, I said, go ahead and do it. Praise God. Hey, friend, I thank God for the church. I'm happy about the church. I'm excited about the church. Thank God for the church. Our Father gave it to us. Now I want you to look at Matthew 16 and verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you're Peter, and on this rock I'll build a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know who gave us this church? Our Father gave it to us. It's not for sale. I said it's not for sale. We're not going to trade it off. It's not for sale. There's no price that's big enough that would buy this wonderful church. The only one that could buy this church was the Lord Jesus Christ. And He purchased this church not with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Thank God we're in the church tonight. My Father gave it to me. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm not looking for another gospel, another message, or another Christ. Hallelujah! Our Father gave us this church. I'm going to stick with it, bless God. So here's what the modernists say. They say, you just give us your church and we'll give you and substitute for it the invisible church. You ever heard of the invisible church? One man came to one of our preachers and he said, Pastor, I want to join your choir. And he said, join the choir? I don't even know you. You're not a member here. What church are you a member of? He said, oh, I'm a member of God's invisible church. And he said, well, that being the case, I suggest you join God's invisible choir. But they're saying, we'll offer you the invisible church. I don't want the invisible church. My Father gave me this one. It's Jesus' name, apostolic, one God, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, foot-stomping, hand-clapping, aisle-running church. I don't want the invisible church. My Father gave me this one. Woo! I feel like shouting tonight. I said, my Father gave me this church. 37 years ago, my Father gave it to me. I'm not going to trade it. It's not for sale. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated. And then they say, well, we'll give you the universal church. And I say, I don't want the universal church. My Father gave me this church. Then they say, we'll give you the ecumenical church. And I say, I don't want the ecumenical church. My Father gave me this church. Then they say, we'll give you the interdenominational church. And I say, I don't want the interdenominational church. My Father gave me this church. Then they come along and say, we'll give you the electronic church. We'll give you the TV church. I don't want the electronic church with Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, and Rod Parsley, and all the rest of that crowd. Kenneth Hagin, I'm telling you, God didn't give me that church. He gave me this church. Amen. I don't know how much you folks in California have heard of Benny Hinn out of Orlando, Florida. But he has big meetings, charismatic. He blows in people's faces and they just fall over. Now you're talking about bad breath. Boy, I'd hate for my breath to be that bad that all you got to do is just blow in somebody's face and they say, my God, I can't take it. Over. But used to, when Benny Hinn was younger, and he said he was a follower of Catherine Kuhlman. He got his ministry from Catherine Kuhlman. However, in the latest edition of Charisma, they interviewed him, and he had to admit he had never met her. All of this was facade. It was made up. He had to admit under tight scrutiny, after somebody found it out and questioned him, he never met Catherine Kuhlman. Didn't even know her. But he started out waving his coat, and folks would just fall over on the floor. And then he got to blow it in their face. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you follow that type of facade, veneer, sham, make-believe, hypocrisy, they've got to find a new deal every month to keep their interest. Praise God. But I want to come back tonight and say, we don't need a new message every month. You know what's kept me for 37 years? When I came in the church, they preached repentance. We still believe it. When I came in the church, they baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. We still believe it. When I came in the church, they told me I had to have the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is not an added blessing. It's not a spare tire. It's not an add-on. It's the birth of the Spirit. And except a man is born of water and Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm in a church that believes the truth. My Father gave it to me. My Father gave it to me. Thank God for the truth that is powerful, that is consistent, that's the same. It never changes. Hallelujah. 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 When I came in the church, they told me there's one God. Hallelujah. 37 years later, we're not looking for any rabbits to pull out of the hat. There's still one God. There's still one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is Father of all, who is above all, who is through all, who is in you all. Thank God for the church. Our Father gave it to us. You may be seated. Hey, you know what? We're not just a new kid on the block. We're not the Johnny-come-latelys. The world tries to cast us into a certain mold. They never hardly heard the word cult before Jim Jones. Anything they don't like and don't believe and don't understand, they call it a cult. Amen. But we're not of the Jim Jones variety. We're not a bunch of wackos from Waco. This is not a cult. This is not a Johnny-come-lately. This is not the new kid on the block. Brother, this church was born almost 2,000 years ago in the power of the Holy Ghost in the upper room at Pentecost. Thank God for the church. Our Father gave it to us. It's not for sale. It's not for sale. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. I said it's not for sale. The church I'm a part of is not for sale. I want to tell all the Ahabs outside the UPC, or if we happen to have any inside the UPC, that this church is not for sale. Let me just follow that up by saying that another thing they're trying to trade us or swap with us on or get us to sell out on is the plan of salvation. I want to tell you that this plan of salvation is not for sale. Glory to God. I'm not just in this church for convenience sake. I'm not just in this until something comes along that's a little more appealing. I'm not just in this until something better comes along. Friend, there's nothing better than this wonderful salvation. My Father gave me this plan of salvation, and it's not for sale. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. This didn't come from hell. It came from heaven. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit of God, my Father, gave them the utterance, Brother Stevenson. Thank God this plan of salvation is from our Heavenly Father. It's not for sale tonight. Some come along and say, if you want to be saved, just walk the aisle. I don't want to walk the aisle of salvation. My Father gave me this plan. Some say, just join the church. I don't want just to join the church salvation. My Father gave me this Acts 2 salvation. Some of them say, sign the church card. I don't want to sign the church card salvation. My Father gave me this salvation. Woo! Glory to God, glory to God. Walk the aisle, join the church, make public profession, sign a card, shake hands with a preacher, walk the Roman road. I'm going to tell you, that's not what I'm looking for. My Father gave me this wonderful New Testament plan of salvation, and I'm going to believe it, and you can't have it. If you try to swap with me, I'm not going to trade. It's not for trade. It's not for sale. It's God's salvation. It's God's salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Another thing the modernists are trying to get, they want to take away our heaven and the hope of heaven. But I'm going to tell you that our heaven's not for sale. As you know, there's very few songs that are being written or sung about heaven anymore. Have you noticed that? I mean, we sing, and I love them all, don't get me wrong. I got a crowd, got a youth crowd, got a 75, got an 80-voice choir. Man, they sing praise and worship. I like all of that. But most of our choruses and songs are about praise and worship and juking and jiving and jumping. And man, I'll jump with anybody. I like it. But there's not many songs being written about heaven anymore or about the blood. I was in Illinois preaching here a while back in a conference about 2 months ago, and the service was just kind of rocking along. They sung two straight songs about heaven. Everybody just sat there. One brother got up and sung, I Ain't Got Time for You, Devil, and that place went bananas. And I told a preacher beside me, I said, boy, heaven don't excite us, but the devil gets us excited. You ever notice that in most services, you can preach about the devil and folks get excited. You can sing about the devil and folks get excited. You can sing about heaven and folks just sit and look at you. But I want to tell you something, friend. My heaven is not for sale. I said, my heaven is not for sale. I'm not going to trade anything for the hope, the blessed hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. My Father gave it to me. It's not for sale. You know what Jesus said? John 14, He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know who gave us this heaven? Our Father gave it to us. Praise God. It's not for sale. The modernists say, we'll give you something else in His place. And I say, I don't want anything else in His place. My Father gave it to me. They say, we'll give you reincarnation. And I say, I don't want reincarnation. I want heaven. They say, we'll give you annihilation. I don't want annihilation. I want heaven. We'll give you just to let you burn up and that's it. I don't want that kind of religion. I want the kind of heaven that my Father gave to me. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, Pentecostals. This world is not our home. We're just pilgrims and strangers, but we are seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Glory. You can't have my heaven. My Father gave it to me. Glory to God. When the Ahabs come and want our heaven, we say, I'm sorry, sir. My Father gave it to me. 1,500 miles long, high, and wide. all the way from Boston to Miami and back over in Kansas or wherever. Bless God. And then folks are singing, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. I don't want a cabin in the corner of glory land. My Father gave me heaven. And He said that place we're going to go has got streets of gold. It's got walls of jasper. It's got gates of pearl. Hallelujah. In that place there is no sickness. You know, heaven is not only going to be great for what it has, it's going to be great for what it doesn't have. Somebody say hallelujah. I said heaven is not only going to be great for what it's got, it's going to be great because of what isn't there. In heaven, no cemeteries. In heaven, no tombstones. In heaven, no ambulances. In heaven, no graveyards. In heaven, no funeral homes. In heaven, no undertakers. I'm going to tell you, friend, you won't need any over there. Heaven, our Father gave it to us. Amen. Hallelujah. I won't say tonight that I'm anxious to go tonight, but I want to be ready to go, as Brother Kemsel talked about. When the time comes, I want to have obeyed the gospel and prepared my heart for the coming of the Lord. But in heaven, it's going to be wonderful because of what isn't there. No rock music blaring out of automobiles in heaven. Thank God, hallelujah. I said no rock music in heaven. I said no movie houses in heaven. No movie stars in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No taverns in heaven. No billboards advertising beer and whiskey in heaven. No cigarette ads in heaven. No drugs being sold on the street corners of glory. No nightclubs in heaven. No Playboy magazines in heaven. I'm going to tell you, friend, you can't have my heaven. It's going to be perfect and great. Eternal bliss and happiness on the other side. My Father gave it to me. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. No hospitals in heaven. No doctors in heaven. No nurses in heaven. No drugstores where you need medicine in heaven. No policemen in heaven. Thank God you can drive as fast as you want to. No policemen. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Some of you will enjoy that. Amen. No firemen in heaven because there's no fire there. No soldiers in heaven. Certainly no sailors in heaven because Revelation 21 said there'll be no more sea. Glory to God. No liquor stores in heaven. No trashy literature in heaven. No televisions in heaven. Now, I don't know what some of you sweet darlings are going to do that's so hooked on them down here, because there's not going to be any televisions in heaven. Glory to God. Somebody might as well shout hallelujah. I said no television in heaven. No soap operas in heaven. Man, when I get thinking about heaven, makes me want to shout and have a good time tonight. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I said, praise God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No trouble, no pain, no heartache, no cancer, no heart trouble, no back trouble, no neck trouble, no TB, no viruses, no flu, no pneumonia. Hey, you can't have my heaven. My Father gave it to me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's not just pie in the sky, pie and pie. But thank God, we know where we came from. We know who we are. We know where we're going. We know the God we're serving. We know in whom we have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. You can't have my heaven. My Father gave it to me. You may be seated. I'm going to close momentarily. And I'm going to tell you something else that the modernists are trying to take out of our day and out of our church, and that's separation from the world. But you know what I say to the modernists that try to take separation from the world out of our churches? You can't have it. Our Father gave it to us. And I've heard everything you've heard. You know, if you preach against sin, you can't build a church. Nobody wants to come and hear a preacher preach against sin. The devil made us believe that lie. I said the devil made us believe that lie. I found the opposite is true. There's hungry hearts out there. They're willing to give up everything the world's got to get this. When you find a treasure in the field, friend, you need to sell everything you have to get this. Because this is better than everything that the world's got. You can't have my doctrine of separation from the world because my Father gave it to me. I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith my Father. Saith the Lord. That's my Father. You know why I'm going to preach separation from the world? My Father gave it to me. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith my Father. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You say, preacher, if you preach against sin, nobody will come. I don't believe that. I found in my own church, and I try to preach with wisdom, and I try to preach with love, and I try to preach because I love people. I'm not there to kill them. I'm not there to drive them away. I'm not there to destroy them. But I found out when I take this Bible and begin to preach the Word of God, that something happens in the hearts of men and women, and they lay aside the world. They want to be what God wants them to be. You can't have my separation from the world. My Father gave it to me, and I'm going to preach it. It's not my hobby horse. My Father gave it to me. It's not just a candy stick. My Father gave it to me. You know what some people say? They say, well, that's just their little candy stick. They do that to get a response from the audience. I believe what I believe long before I ever even preached it. And long before any audience ever responded in any way. I don't preach what I preach for audience response. I don't preach it just for audience participation. It's not just my candy stick. Those who really felt that way about it and were just along for the ride, I'm going to tell you, they are sifting out one by one. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken, that only those things which may not be shaken may remain. Only those who really believe the truth are going to stand for it in these last days. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We had old Kenny Ball to come in. He was in prison. Our team's witnessed to him. We go into prisons and jails, everything in our county every week and witness. And Kenny Ball came, got baptized and got the Holy Ghost, has never missed a service. He's got a good job. He's out of prison. He's paying tithes. He's loving God. He's got married. He's got a family. Praise God. You say, well, that's just the prisoners. Let me tell you something. There's other people in our society that's hungry for God. Old Jeff Bowe come in our church. He's an AIDS research scientist. I mean, he's got so many degrees, they call him Dr. Fahrenheit. And boy, he's a brain. He's a whiz. But you know what? Jeff came into our church for the first time. He and his wife, a scientist and a high up fella. Praise God. But in no time, he was baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. He come to me and said, Pastor, what do you want me to do? My God, what do you want me to do? Jeff Bowles been in church about 3 weeks now. Three years. He's over our campus ministry at Duke University. Winning souls all the time. 8 new people he brought last Sunday. I want to tell you, this is for everybody. This is for the down and outers. It's for the up and outers. Don't tell me nobody wants to hear our message anymore. Don't tell me nobody wants to hear our message. Young man came in who's a pharmacist, got baptized, got the Holy Ghost, started living for God, sold his television, shaved his beard off. Is it all right to say that? I still believe men ought to be clean shaven. I believe they ought to get a haircut. Praise God, living for God, winning souls every week. Kirby came in our church, country and western music singer. Praise God, in a matter of 2 weeks, he and his wife were baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, sold 3 televisions, and sang in our choir every service now. Let me tell you something, friend. There's some hungry people for God out there. Don't tell me nobody wants our message. Our holiness is not a deterrent. I'm going to preach separation from the world because my Father gave it to me. Glory! Glory! I said glory! I said hallelujah! My Father gave it to me. I'm going to preach separation in the world. My Father gave it to me. I'm 53 years old. I've never had a television in my home. Oh, I've missed a lot, haven't I? I've never lived in a house with a TV in it. In my life. Before you start feeling sorry for me, maybe you ought to just shout with me a little while. I read on the plane coming out here the other day, this is in USA Today. This is not the Pentecostal Herald. USA Today, in the editorial, it said most children are well dosed in TV's blood and guts at even the tenderest ages. Hear me. USA Today. The average child sees 8,000 murders and 100,000 acts of violence before finishing elementary school. USA Today. According to the American Psychological Association, yet with more parents working full-time and with average kids now watching 27 hours of TV per week, it's harder than ever to keep track of just what they are exposed to. If USA Today can see the danger in modern-day television, why can't the church see it? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You can call me an old fogey. You can call me a fanatic. You can call me anything you want to. When I had 2 members in Durham, I preached against television. When I had 50 in church, I preached against television. When I had 100, I preached against television. When we got 500, I preached against television. We averaged 1,051 last year. For the whole year, I still preach against television. Bless God, let me tell you something. My Father gave me this message of separation from the world. Let's all stand on our feet. Let's shout the name of Jesus. Glory! Separation from the world. My Father gave it to me. Yeah. I wish somebody praise God with me right now. I know it's the last night of camp meeting, but I wish somebody would praise God with me tonight. We don't need television. We don't need television. We don't need television. We don't need the world. We don't need Hollywood. I said, we don't need television. Can't build a church if you preach that. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. The devil's a liar. Our Father gave us this ministry of separation from the world. Our Father gave it to us. Let's shout hallelujah. I said, our Father gave us separation from the world. It's still a sin for a woman to cut her hair. It's still a sin to wear makeup. Thank you for saying amen. But it's still wrong to wear makeup. I believe we need to go home, get rid of the makeup, get rid of the pantsuits, get rid of the jewelry, get rid of the television, get our hearts cleaned out. I'm going to tell you, our Father gave us a message of separation from the world. You can't have it. My Father gave it to me. Somebody shout amen. I want to tell you, there's one more thing you can't have, and I'm not going to elaborate on it. I'm quitting. You can't have our Pentecostal worship. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to quieten it down. This thing wasn't done in a corner. You can't have our worship. You can't have our hand clapping. You can't have our foot stomping. You can't have our aisle running. You can't have our tongue talking. It's not for sale. It's not for trade. Our Father gave it to us. I wish somebody go ahead and do what you feel tonight. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Make yourself at home tonight. Our Father
going
gave us worship.
Going up to the higher places to tear Satan's kingdom down. Well, I'm going up,
going up
to the higher places. Going up.
You feel
to
like
the
shouting, why don't you
places.
Shout? You feel like running,
going
why don't you run? You feel like dancing, why don't you dance? You feel like talking in tongues?
Down.
Go ahead.
I'm going up.
I want to tell you, John 4:24 said, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You know who gave us our worship? Our Father gave it to us. And every Ahab in hell is not going to steal our worship. My God, we got to keep Holy Ghost power alive. We got to keep tongue talking alive. We got to keep dancing in the Spirit alive. Our Father gave us worship. Our Father gave it to us. That was awful. Can any of you imagine a silent Pentecost? Can any of you imagine a silent Pentecost? I'm saying our Father gave us worship. Here's the way the modernists want to read it. And suddenly, there came a holy hush from heaven, as of a slowly drifting fog, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them an image of peace, and it set upon each of them. And they were all overcome by its silence, and felt they had received salvation. Friend, that's not what happened. I said modern religion has taken the blood out of the cross. They've taken fire out of hell. They've taken holiness out of the life of the believer. And for the sounds of Pentecost, they have substituted the silence of indecision. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when it was fully come, they were all with one accord, one place. Suddenly a sound came from heaven. They got the Holy Ghost. They talked in tongues. You can't have my worship. My Father gave it. Brother Mullins, I want you to sing that again. I wish somebody to obey God tonight. You feel like shouting, shout. We can't lose worship. We can't lose worship. We can't lose worship. We can't lose worship. Our churches will die when we lose worship.
Up to the high places. tear Satan's kingdom down. Well, I'm going up. Oh, going up. I'm going up to the higher places to tear Satan's kingdom down. Well, I'm going up.
We can't lose worship.
Going up.
Going up.
I wish somebody would just kind of walk out now a little bit. Hallelujah. And just kind of move around just a little bit. We can't afford to lose worship, folks. Our Father gave it to us. We got to keep the power. We got to keep the glory. We've got to keep the anointing. We got to keep the fresh touch. We got to make Pentecost still be Pentecost. Don't change it. Don't change it. Don't change it. Let Pentecost be Pentecost. Come on, somebody clap your hands. Somebody walk around the aisle a little. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody let the Holy Ghost move on you.
Sing it. Oh, to tear Satan's kingdom down. Well, I'm going up.
Going up to the high.
Oh, going up.
Come on, let's everybody worship God. Let's everybody worship God. Let's everybody worship God. All the way to the back.
I'm going up. I'm going up. I'm going up.
Yes. We got to keep the glory. We got to keep the glory.
Well, I'm going up.
Going up to the high place.
Going up.
Folks, how long has it been since you felt God's power? How long has it been since you talked in tongues? How long has it been since you shook under the anointing of the Spirit?
Well, I'm going up.
You can't have my worship.
I'm going up.
My Father gave it.
I'm going up.
To the high place.
Oh, kingdom now. Well, I'm going up.
To the high place.
I'm going up.
Going up to the high place.
Going up.
Going up to the high place.
Oh,
to
the high place. Kingdom now. Well, I'm going up.
Going up to the high place.
Going up.
I wish everybody would get with somebody and pray right now before this service is over. Would you get with somebody and pray and say, we want revival in California. We want revival in our church. We want revival in the pulpit. We want revival in the pew. We want God's power. We've got to have God's power. Come on, saints. Lay your hand on somebody. Let's pray for one another right now. We want it. We're desperate for it. Oh God, give us a moving of your Spirit.